Mr. Robertson, the first item on our agenda today for public hearings is conditional use number 2540, La Dolce Fair Niant LLC. I hope I didn't butcher that too bad.
This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a self-storage facility and office and outdoor storage to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Sussex County containing 7.0 acres more or less. The property is lying on the west side of DuPont Boulevard, which is Route 113, approximately 0.1919 mile north of East Piney Grove Road, which is Sussex County Route 329. The 911 address is not available and the tax parcel ID is District 133, Map 11. Parcel 1.02 submitted into the record, Madam Chair. We have a copy of the applicant's conditional use site plan. We have a copy of the applicant's exhibits and presentation materials. We have a copy of a deed for the property. We have a copy of the staff analysis report. We have a copy of a letter received from the Sussex County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division, and I would note that we have received zero comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Whitehouse. The Chair recognizes Mr. Hutt.
Good afternoon. For the record, my name is David Hutt, the local attorney here in Georgetown with the law firm of Morris James. This afternoon, I am representing what I'm going to say is La Dolce Far Niente LLC, but your guess is as good as mine, which is the applicant and owner of the property just described by Mr. Whitehouse when he introduced the application. With me to assist in this presentation are a couple of people sitting about mid-row back, or midway back in this room, is Matt Kirks and Carter Kirks, who are principals of the LLC that was just referenced. And then the individual sitting next to me a moment ago when I was sitting down is Eric Wall, land planner, or registered landscape architect, rather, with the Pannoni Group. Before going any further, I do feel obligated to provide the Planning Commission with the interpretation of the phrase that's the name of the LLC. If anyone didn't look it up, it is an Italian phrase that translates as the sweetness of doing nothing. while that's a wonderful phrase and a great name for an LLC, whoever picked it, please don't take it literally this evening because we want you to do something. We do want you to recommend approval of this conditional use for self-storage with boat trailer and RV parking until full build out of all the various buildings. The property is located on the western side of DuPont Boulevard. You can see DuPont Boulevard is the road that runs at an angle on the images on the screens around the room. And it's a short distance north of the intersection of Route 113 with East Piney Grove Road. Of course, the landmark to help quickly orient everyone in the room to this property would be that the Sharp Energy Building, which you can see at the intersection of East Piney Grove Road and 113, is the immediately adjacent neighbor to the property that's the subject of this application. As you can see, the property is completely vacant and is currently used for agricultural purposes. The state strategies map that's the 2025 state strategies map, identifies this property as being in an investment level 4. I'm going to spend a little more time on this than I should, just if you could humor me on this. There are three things that are interesting about this excerpt from the state strategies map. First, it's always curious to me how level 3 can completely surround this 7 acres and a little bit of the Sharp Energy property and put those things on an island, and yet this property that's on that island is level 4 in the middle of the level 3. I can tell you I've never been able to figure that out during the entire practice I've had in land use. Secondly, and probably more important, is you can see there's cross-hatching across this entire excerpt from the state strategies map. And this designates this property as being part of what the 2025 state strategies map called a key planning area. And if we were to not focus in on just this property and pull out, you would see that key planning area extends all the way from Georgetown to Millsboro along the Route 113 corridor. If you want more information about that, Mr. Whitehouse is the great source of that, as he and his staff are currently working with the Office of State Planning Coordination to master plan that key planning area between Georgetown and Millsboro. I think they have some workshops or are setting up some time for workshops for the public to weigh in on those things. As a side note, the same designation of a key planning area also exists on along Route 9 from Georgetown to Lewis or to the Five Points area. The third thing I would say about this being in level four is that this application does not involve any public funds for the proposed use. For example, this application doesn't add any new children to a school district. This application doesn't need additional services for people. In fact, this application is the opposite of that, as it provides a use or a service for existing residents or businesses in the area who need storage and does that with a minimal traffic impact. On the 2045 future land use map in the 2018 comprehensive plan, if we were to zoom in there, you would see that the property is identified as being part of the low density area, which is one of the county's two rural areas. This proposed conditional use is consistent with the guidelines found in Chapter 4 regarding low density areas, as low density areas are identified as areas where the primary activities are agricultural activities and homes. And then that same section of the comprehensive plan goes on to describe the types of business and commercial uses that are appropriate in low density areas. And in doing so, the comprehensive plan states that business development should be largely confined to businesses addressing the needs of the two uses, agricultural activities and homes. And the focus of retail and office uses should be providing convenience goods and services to nearby residents, which is exactly on point with what a self-storage facility is trying to do. The properties that surround this, the 7 acres that we're talking about, to the north, south, and west, were basically on the same side of DuPont Boulevard or Route 113, are in that same low density area. The properties across the street or across Route 113 are in the municipalities area, which is a growth area in Sussex County. On the right-hand side of the two images, you can see that the property isn't shaded in any particular color, which would mean that it is zoned AR1, the Agricultural Residential District. And certainly you can see that the surrounding properties also bear that same AR1 designation. North of the site, when you get closer to Governor Stokely Road, there are a series of commercially zoned properties. There are C1, CR1, C3, and C2 commercially zoned properties on the western and a little bit on the eastern side of Route 113. And in the upper right-hand corner of the right-hand image, you can see there's some gray shading, and that is the county's institutional area. And most of you would recognize that as the location of Sussex Central, the parcel on which Sussex Central School is located. In looking at the zoning map, I didn't think it really reflected that key planning area that the state and the county identified when the Office of State Planning Coordination was going through the 2025 and developing that state strategies map. And so I asked the Pannoni Group to sort of put together that key planning area corridor, which is the image you see on the left. And you can see the property that is the subject of this application is highlighted, as well as the Sharp Energy piece to help orient everyone to where East Piney Grove Road falls within that corridor. But when you start at the very southern limits of the town of Georgetown, you can see that's the shaded area at the top of the images on the screen. Within the town of Georgetown, at the southern limits, you have highway commercial, institutional uses, and even their future land use map identifies the areas that they would seek to annex in the future as being institutional and utility uses along 113. There's also some light industrial at the southern end of Georgetown, as well as a mixture of residential types of zoning. Immediately after you leave the town of Georgetown, of course, the Georgetown Speedway is on the east side of Route 113. And I note this not just because that's a fun use of the property, but also because right around the speedway, there is a section of land on the eastern side that is zoned a C2 medium commercial, which is intended for some future retail businesses. And right Adjacent to that is a larger portion of land that is zoned LI1 limited industrial. As you travel further south along the Route 113 corridor, you of course come closer to Governor Stokely Road. And in that area, there's a number of zoning classifications, many of which I just referenced, C1, CR1, C3, and C2. And the businesses you would all recognize the names of, the Melvin Joseph Construction Company, Stokely Materials, Stonegate, Granite and Marble, Herc Equipment Rental, David A. Banks, Peninsula Homes, Pep Up, all of those are in that part of that corridor between the Georgetown Speedway and then Governor Stokely Road. As you travel a little further south past Governor Stokely Road, that same commercial zoning designation continues. You have properties that are zoned, again, C1, CR1, and C2. There's a DIY tool supply store on the western side of Route 113. And if you stay on Route 113, of course, Stokely Tavern is just north of the site we're talking about. When you continue further south, of course, you have the Sharp Energy conditional use, which I mentioned a moment ago as the landmark to identify the property as with. And then if you continue south, of course, you get all the way to the outer boundaries, the municipal limits of the town of Millsboro. And the northernmost boundary of that has a HC or highway commercial zoning classification. And if you go past that site right now, it'll be easy to identify because it's currently under construction for Tidal Health's future 30-acre healthcare campus. And if you travel just past that, BB is going to be establishing its own medical use at the next intersection. This application is for a conditional use. The second sentence of the purpose of a conditional use found in section 115-219 of the county code is a good description of a conditional use, as the code states as follows. These uses are generally of a public or semi-public character and are essential and desirable for the general convenience and welfare, but because of the nature of the use, the importance of the relationship to the comprehensive plan, and possible impact not only on neighboring properties but on a large section of the county, require the exercise of planning judgment on location and site plan. As the commission is familiar, the AR1 zoning district allows conditional uses for something that the Planning Commission considers on a somewhat regular basis for self-storage. In fact, there was some of that in old business here this afternoon. Through those, the county has established that self-storage is a use that is of a public or semi-public character and essential and desirable for the county. Another example of a conditional use on AR1 property, of course, would be the Sharp Energy building itself, immediately adjacent to this property. That application was a conditional use for commercial propane storage and CNG propane dispensing and for an office and warehouse, and was identified as conditional use number 1997, was adopted by County Council as ordinance number 2370 on October 14th, 2014. The planning judgment on location and site plan referred to in the code's definition of what a conditional use is can be described in a number of ways. You can see that five of the factors that the Planning Commission and County Council will evaluate are things like the compatibility of the proposed conditional use with the area, traffic impacts, any environmental considerations for a parcel, public safety concerns, and then the overarching orderly growth of the county. Before looking at some of those factors specifically, I did want to review the proposed conditional use, as it is a little more unique than some of the storage, self-storage applications that you have seen. The primary use is a self-storage facility with buildings and indoor self-storage. They will be single-story buildings and fully enclosed units. On the right-hand side, you can see, and there was an amendment to the conditional use application to add this temporary use, and that's for boat, trailer, and RV parking while the site is being built out. So sort of anticipating that not all of the buildings for financial reasons would be constructed all at once. The portions of the property that are not being, do not have storage buildings on them would be able to be used for storage purposes. This would be done through a phasing plan, and this was part of the materials that were filed with this application. You can see in phase one, which is the area sort of in a, I believe that's a pinkish color. That's called phase one. There are two storage buildings at the entrance, as well as the stormwater management. Phase two is right in the center. And with phase one, you'd have the initial storage buildings and then the site access. And then, of course, temporary boat and RV storage sort of surrounding that. Phase two would add approximately four buildings in the middle of the site. And then phase three and the other various phases would continue to add storage buildings around the perimeter of the site. The timing of that would, of course, be determined based on demand for those buildings. This excerpt is probably a better image to describe what I was just reviewing. You can see phase one and phase two there. We're showing buildings, storage buildings in those areas, and then what will be proposed trailer, boat, and RV parking in phases three, four, and five. And again, as the demand increased for the indoor storage, the parking would be eliminated and reduced with the various phasing that you see. As this is on the images that I have, this is a good place to probably pause and look at the site plan. A couple things I wanted to highlight. If you looked at the keyed notes that are, you can, and no one in the room can read them, but there are letters and numbers that apply to each one of those things. In building A, which is here, this keyed note is keyed note number one. This is a location where there would be an office. It would not be staffed all the time. It would only be staffed if there was an appointment made and a customer wanted to meet on site. But again, there would not, generally speaking, be a person on site. Number two, the second keyed note is the gated access. The third keyed note indicates that there's a fence around the entire perimeter. The fourth keyed note here references the parking spaces, and those relate to the office use that is there for when a customer needs to meet on site. Next, on the left-hand side of the proposed building, or proposed building A, there is a water tank and pump house to be able to provide fire suppression for all the buildings. And then next to that is an area for septic. And then out by the road, there is an area for a sign, and we'll talk more about the signage in a moment. The buildings would be single-story buildings of neutral color. There would be fenced screening, as I mentioned a moment ago, around the entire perimeter of the site. In addition, due to the size of the buildings, all the buildings would be fully sprinkled. And so, of course, that's going to require fire marshal approval and coordination with the local fire company as part of that. A service level evaluation request was filed with DLDOT, and not surprisingly, I know because the commission's familiar with self-storage applications, they generate minimal traffic. DLDOT's word for that would be negligible, and as the commission knows, that means fewer than 50 vehicle trips in any hour and fewer than 500 vehicle trips in any day. The access to this site is from East Piney Grove Road. There's a recorded easement across the Sharp Energy parcel that provides access to this parcel, and then this parcel has that same recorded easement that extends access to the next parcel. That was done through a subdivision process, much like, again, the commission sees on a fairly regular basis for a minor subdivision off of a proposed access easement. With respect to environmental considerations of this application, the property is not within a floodplain. It is in an area designated as Zone X on the FEMA flood maps. As you can see, there are no federal or state jurisdictional wetlands that are located on this property. They're actually just on the other side of the woods from this property, but they are not within this property. The property does not have any source water protection areas. That means wellhead protection areas or excellent groundwater recharge areas on the site. And the stormwater management will meet or exceed the requirements of the engineering department and the Sussex Conservation District. With respect to how compatible is this use with the surrounding area, I think most often the Planning Commission thinks of that in terms of your typical nuisance factors, things like sound, light, any smells that could be generated from a use on a piece of property. As the commission is familiar, self-storage is certainly a quiet, low-impact use. In this circumstance and for this property, the nearest neighbor is a commercial use, a Sharp Energy. The nearest residence is more than 1,000 feet away along Route 113. There's, of course, a community benefit that's derived from storage as it provides a location for businesses and homes to safely store things in a secure area that's intended for that. I know the commission regularly hears stories regarding, you know, obviously homeowners associations that do not allow storage of what many people think of as their treasures on their property themselves. And so it's necessary to have storage. In addition, many businesses use storage facilities like this for their purposes as well. And that location, this location, of course, is particularly noteworthy in that regard, as this location is an area along a major arterial road, Route 113. It's something that has been identified as a growth corridor or a key planning area throughout the state strategies process. And of course, it is located between two growing towns within Sussex County, between Georgetown and Millsboro. So individuals who live in either one of those towns would have ready access off of 113 to this facility. As this is a conditional use, certainly the Planning Commission will likely recommend conditions. I do have some proposed findings of fact and conditions that I will hand. And I did want to review just a couple of them because they are unique to this application and this site. And the proposed conditions begin on page 3. And the first one is just a description of the concept that's being proposed here this afternoon, which is the indoor self-storage, but with the boat trailer and recreational vehicle storage with that phased process until the buildings are completed. The second condition indicates that no one can perform work on the boats, trailers, or RVs. This is not intended to be a mechanics yard. It's a storage facility. The third one is that the site is proposed to have 24-hour gated access for its customers. Again, this application is right on Route 113. There are no nearby neighbors. It's not next to an adjacent residential community, which is why that is what is proposed for this site. The next proposed condition D talks about the perimeter fencing and the gate access. E talks about security lighting. And then the one I wanted to focus on the most is proposed condition F. And that states that the signage for the property shall comply with the sign requirements for the C2 medium commercial zoning classification in Article 21 signs of the zoning code. And this is, I know oftentimes the Planning Commission uses a 32 square foot sign, but those are often on smaller local roads where you're in a more residential type setting or more rural type setting. This property is of course situated along a major arterial, Route 113. And so what's proposed is the signage that's similar to the same signage that would be allowed amongst all those various commercial uses and zoning classifications that I identified when we looked at the zoning map. I would also note that this is identical to the signage allowed for Sharp Energy, the conditional use that was immediately next door. The only difference would be that rather than referencing the signage requirements for the C2 medium commercial district, that one referenced the signage requirements for the B1 neighborhood residential district. As the commission knows, that's a closed district, so I didn't think that would be appropriate to reference in this context. But they do track and they do allow the same on-site signage, both the B1, that's part of the Sharp Energy conditional use, as well as the C2 commercial use that's part of this. That concludes my presentation. Certainly, as I indicated at the outset, we would ask the Planning Commission to recommend approval, subject to the conditions. And myself and the balance of the team are happy to answer any questions that council or staff may have.
All right, well, thank you, Mr. Hutt. And we'll see if anyone has any questions, and we'll start with Mr. Pettyjohn.
I know you had mentioned about it being one story. That's fine, but I was curious as to what that might be, because, I mean, like an airplane hangar is also one story. Are you talking about just something like 14 feet, 20 feet? No idea?
I don't have any idea, but my client probably does. I'll ask one of them to, if you come up, Mr. Kirk.
Give us your name, please.
Introduce yourself. And then.
How you doing? My name's Matt Kirks.
The question for Mr. Pettyjohn was how tall, the single-story structures, how tall do you anticipate them being?
I anticipate them being, we haven't nailed down a manufacturer yet, but somewhere probably in the 20-foot range.
Yeah.
I mean, something like that. It's not going to be an airplane hangar.
Yeah, I got you. No, I was just kind of curious, thinking about the looks or the aesthetics of it in the area, you know.
Yeah, kind of the standard, you know, a gable.
Okay. And probably conditioned.
Absolutely. They're all climate controlled.
Yeah.
You know, 8-foot ceilings and then a gable roof, you know, whether it's a, you know, 4, 5, 12
right.
roof,
yeah.
you know.
Okay. Yeah, no, that was one that just popped into my mind. I'm, you know, curious to see what anyone else might have to say, but yeah, that's all I could think of at the moment. A little disappointed. I thought the name had to do with like ice cream, but that's okay. It's all right.
Sweet desserts. I do know that. Yeah. Dolce. Okay, Mr. Collins.
So this is maybe a little bit of a question you may not have an answer to. Is the entrance design that's proposed here consistent with some sort of future service road that runs behind and connects somewhere else, or is this just a, you know, taking advantage of an existing road that's being used by the other adjacent property? What's the plan here?
It's the same as all of the other minor subdivisions. It doesn't create a service road per se. It's not going to be a DelDOT service road. It's the access for Sharp Energy to the backside of their property. It'll be the access for this property. And then as
property beyond it.
Right, and then the one property beyond it. That was the minor subdivision. And so those three properties all benefit from that. But as far as a general service road or something like that, it really only serves those three properties.
Okay, thank you. I don't have any other. Oh, one last question. The gate, do we know how far in from the entrance from that road the gate will actually be established?
Do you mean off of the easement road or off of East Piney Grove Road?
Off the easement road.
I have to ask Mr. Wall if he has that dimension.
I don't.
It's not often we stump you, so.
Eric Wall, registered landscape architect and land planner with Pannoni and president of the Native Plant Society of Delaware. Just by scaling it off, it looks like it is about 50 feet off the edge of paving for that road. The gate.
All right. Thank you very much. I don't have any other questions.
Thank you. Mr. Allen.
Really, I have none at this time.
I do have one, and this is probably a question for you as well. Just looking at the layout here, the proximity of these buildings. So if you're getting into storage building M, I'm assuming you would then unload or load between M and Q, because there's 24 feet there, but between M and I, it looks like it's 10-foot separation. And then, Mike, so to that point, is 24 feet enough for, bless you, like somebody showing up with a pickup truck pulling a trailer, where are they going to turn around?
So the way this is designed for traffic-wise to go around the buildings is, yes, the 24 feet would be the access ways around the buildings where it's shallower. That's the sides of the buildings, so there wouldn't be any real access there. But the traffic would go around through the 24-foot wide spaces. And if you're going through phase one to get to phase two, you would go up to the left of building I and building M. And then if you have to if it's a bigger vehicle that you don't want to back up and out, then you can go around building M, building between building M and building N, and then make a loop and come back out to exit.
And I don't recall seeing anything from the fire marshal's office, so that's this plan is acceptable for them to be able to get fire trucks and any kind of first responders through there?
Yes, I worked with our civil engineer also with that to make sure that our accessibility is adequate.
Okay. All right. Thank you. All right. Anybody else have?
Just one quick question. Are the aside from the building that has the office in it, are any of the buildings going to have septics? I know there's going to be sprinklered, but are they going to have water connections or anything like that, plumbing? Okay.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
Well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah. Aside from that. Right.
For the okay. fire safety reasons.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yep. Okay. Thanks.
Mr. Whitehouse, do you have anything?
None for me, thanks.
Okay. Staff?
No.
Okay. If you'd like to have a seat, we'll see if anyone has an interest in your application. So anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 2540, La Dolce Far Niente LLC? I'm not going to say that again. In favor? Is there anyone here who would like to speak in opposition? Okay. Anybody else have any further questions? Yeah. Okay. Mr. Pettijohn?
Yeah, no, I would
First, let me close the public hearing for conditional use number 2540, La Dolce Far Niente LLC. Mr. Pettijohn.
All right. I move that we defer action on conditional use 2540, La Dolce Far Niente LLC for further consideration.
Second.
Okay, the motion's been made and seconded to defer action on conditional use number 2540. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Thank you. The motion carries.